Is the rapture and the thousand-year reign really true? You just might be surprised at the answer on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome today to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. I really appreciate your time as we come together to look at the map of life and the light to follow God's Word, the Holy Bible. Let us simply examine Book, Chapter, and Verse, and you're more than welcome to join us weekly as we look at God's Word together. And please know at the end of our broadcast that we will offer Bible study material absolutely free so that you may continue your studies in God's Word in the privacy of your own home. So please stay tuned. And let's consider our Book, Chapter, and Verse today. The lesson text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, Paul is dealing with a matter to assure the brethren, the Christians, the church at Thessalonica, about loved ones in Christ who have passed. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, it begins with verse 13 again that says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact I'm about to deliver. I want us to be, if you will, up to speed, understand what we are going to learn. Then he explains it. And then he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Paul wanted to increase knowledge for his fellow Christians and to lift up their heart with no sorrow, a hope in Christ, and a comfort to ease. You see, for the Christian, death is called a sleep, verses 13 through 15. It is a rest from our labors, because Christians die in the Lord, according to Revelation 14, 13. "Blessed are those which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit." And we understand there are those that die in the Lord, there's a rest, there's a peace. Philippians 1, 21, Paul called death a gain. Now the issue at this point is what will happen. Should Jesus return to those that have died? What's going to happen? The church at Thessalonica were saying, what's going to happen? Should Jesus return of those that have died? And so with this, the church needed comfort and assurance about those they loved who had died in Christ. They needed to know, okay, if Christ comes back, what's going to happen? They're going to be taken care of. The dead in Christ, they'll rise first. We which are alive will remain and be with him. Now, if I am living in Thessalonica at the time, then I'm reminded, if I die in Christ, I am fine. And things are going to be okay. God's got it covered. Let me live my life for Christ. Let me take comfort in that. Let me embrace that. And I find it rather interesting that when I go into verse 1 of chapter 5, Paul says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Again, he's not referring to times, seasons, whatever. He's just reminding them, you live faithful and be ready. You know, it is a frustrating thing when texts are taken and twisted. Or to quote Paul of those in 2 Peter 3:16, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Kind friend, it seems that the study of the 1,000-year reign, the rapture, and Christ's throne established on the earth is a teaching that many folks just accept and go right on. Now, I realize through this broadcast that there are viewers that may believe this. Some time back, it was in movie form. And I recall the movie's website stated, quote, this movie is based on the New York Times best-selling book series of the same name, co-authored by Jerry B. Jenkins and Tim LaHaye. Based on the Bible and published in 32 different languages, this series has sold more than 65 million copies and is one of the best-selling fiction series of all time. And I'm referring to the movie that was called Left Behind. Now, my friends, again, please keep in mind, it's referred to as a fiction series. Based on the Bible, there are teachings there that are brought forth. And today I'd like for you and I to take book, chapter, and verse and think about this a little bit. And to even look at some history. If one were to read through all the pre-tribulation, during tribulation, and after tribulation matters of the return of Christ, you would have nothing more than a mass misunderstanding. So kind friends, within the next few moments, we need to examine for our knowledge, increase our hope, and have comfort knowing what God has to say on these matters. So let's begin as we think and consider of the background. Now, I want to borrow some background work from a friend, Wayne Jackson, and his work at ChristianCourier.com. And I'm going to rely on him to kind of help me with some definitions here. Let's talk about the word rapture for a moment. The word rapture is derived from the Latin word rapio, which means to seize or to snatch. And through this word, and although this word rather is not in the Bible, dispensationalists claim the idea is found in 1 Corinthians 4:17. There, Paul speaks of the coming of Christ, and he declares that those living saints who witness the Lord's return will be caught up in the clouds to meet Him. Brother Jackson goes on to reason that the truth of the matter is this: the rapture theory is relatively recent. The idea appears to be traceable to a Pentecostal movement of the early 1800s, founded by a man by the name of Edward Irving, who lived from 1792 to 1834. George Murray, in his excellent volume called Millennial Studies, has also quoted the renowned Greek scholar S.P. Tregelles, who in 1864 wrote, quote, I am not aware that there was any definite teaching that there should be a secret rapture of the church at a secret coming until this was given forth as an utterance in Mr. Irving's church from what was then received as being the voice of the Spirit. Now, in the movie, people look around and folks are just gone from a plane. Clothing is left perfectly there. But you know, it's interesting when I go back to look at 1 Thessalonians 4, what we read, and there in verse 17, that it's interesting that not one translation will translate that phrase, caught up together, as raptured. And that's interesting. It says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And according to verse 16, we will know when the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. Because that's pretty clear. So as I take a look at this word and think of the word rapture, it actually, this concept did not come along until the 1800s, the thought of rapture, and even it's not a biblical word. It's taken from a Latin in the Bible penned in a Greek language. Now, kind friends, again, I'm not being critical, but surely you would agree that we need to look at these things carefully. Now, with that background, let's consider the Bible now. Back to our 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 text. I'd like for you and I to see what the Bible and the text here does not say. Don't miss this point. It does not say Jesus will come secretly. When you and I look again at verse 16, the text, a shout, a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That's definitely going to garner some attention. All three of those can be heard. If someone shouts at you, you hear the voice of the archangel who is charged with a message, as angels were, the trump of God. All three of those can definitely be heard. That's not a secret appearance. You're going to know that. Revelation 1:7. Notice secondly, if every eye shall see him, and that's what Revelation 1:7 says. Well, if every eye shall see him, then how can something be secret? So now I hear and I am able to see. Listen to Acts 1:11. Those standing nearby looked at the apostles and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Notice, in like manner as you have seen him go, in like manner you'll be able to see him come. Once again, descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Pass away with a great noise. When the Lord returns, there's nothing secret. We will hear it. We will see it. We will know it. And we will join him. And we will be caught up together with those who have gone before, faithful in Christ, those of us who are Christians. Let's notice something else this text does not speak of. The text does not speak of two resurrections. If you think about it, he's writing to comfort the Christians who were concerned of their loved ones who had passed, who would go before. He's not speaking of two resurrections. We go to John, the 5th chapter, verses 28 and 29, and we see where Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You put this all together. those that are alive would join those who are dead in Christ. They are going to resurrect. But even we find that those that will come forth that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. My friend, all are going to be going above, going before. Paul is dealing in 1 Thessalonians not with two resurrections there. He's dealing with one because he told them, I want you to understand what's going to happen to your saved loved ones. And you take it and comfort one another with these words, you will be comforted with this. In other words, they weren't concerned of those that were dead out of Christ. It's not the point. Notice what else this text does not teach. 1 Thessalonians 4 does not mention 7 years of tribulation. This is even confusing among the advocates of premillennialism. Is it a pre-tribulation? Is this a time of during tribulation or before tribulation? There's a lot of things there that just, you have to really work hard to grasp all this when it's really much more simple. Notice what else this text does not teach. It does not mention an establishment of a kingdom in different phases. The kingdom, my friend, is already established. The kingdom is called the church. How do I know that? Consider these texts with me. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. Here is Jesus Christ speaking unto Peter. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, I will build my church. And I'll give unto you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. I will give unto you the keys, the authority. And that's the authority the apostles had. Peter stood on Pentecost and they proclaimed, here's the authority. You have the keys. I grant the authority to carry forth that commission. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter, what is bound and brought forth, that's what you're going to deliver. And whatsoever is loosed, that's what you will deliver. There's no doubt that the kingdom and the church are one in the same, kind friend. Listen to Mark 9, 1 in the days of Christ. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, there'll be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, my friend, if the kingdom has yet to come, and again, I'm not being funny, I'm not being critical, I want us to think on these in light of book, chapter, and verse. If that's the case, there's some over 2,000-year-old people still waiting for Jesus to return to begin a kingdom. But they saw the kingdom come with power. And on the day of Pentecost, the kingdom came with the power of the Spirit and guided those apostles into all truth as Jesus promised in John 14, 26, John 15, 26, John 16, 13. How about another text? Colossians 1, 3, which we've looked at in previous studies, the Christians there, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. They were already in the kingdom. In John 18, 36, Jesus answered and said to them, or Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus said, I'm not here to start an earthly kingdom. I'm here to bring forth a spiritual kingdom. In Luke 17, 21, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Where does the King reign? He reigns in our hearts. He is our King of kings, Lord of lords. Now, every king has a territory, and it is the church. Kind friend, I realize we've talked about a lot of things today that may be surprising. And I mean this with all grace. Once again, look at what's not said. Left behind needs to be left alone. Let's be reminded of Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When he comes the second time and he comes again, we're going home. The kingdom is not coming down. The kingdom, the church, it's going up. And we're going home to be with the Lord. That's where we can take 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11. And be reminded, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You don't expect a thief. There's not going to be a sign or something of that nature to say, look at this or look at that. There were signs back in Matthew 24 to look at the destruction of Jerusalem, but not signs when the Lord will return. There have been people, and you know this, have made those predictions for years and missed it every time. Back to 2 Peter 3:10, though. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And again, 2 Peter 3:10 and 11, think with me. What manner of persons ought we to be? Let's take hope and comfort in this. To those that are ready to meet the Lord when He returns and time ends, no second chances, we will be ready if we will embrace His salvation plan. The man Christ has a plan for mankind, the gospel. If we believe the gospel of Christ, as we hear the gospel preached and believe it, and if we'll repent of our sins and confess Jesus as the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism to be added to His church and members of His kingdom where He is King, 1 Timothy 6:15, then we will be added to the church. And we will begin a faithful walk for the Lord, and we will be ready to meet Him when He returns. Again, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. You know, thieves do not call ahead and tell you they're coming. You and I will not receive a call from a thief letting us know that he's booking to come to our house at a certain time, that we will be ready. When a thief comes in the night, we don't expect him. When the Lord returns, we will not expect His return. There are not going to be any signs that are given. To those in the days of Christ in Matthew 24, those indicated toward the destruction of Jerusalem when the Lord would come in His power and greatness. When the Lord returns, it's not going to be a secret rapture, my kind friend. It's not going to be a secret return of our Lord. As we've noted from the text, when He returns, we will know it. And either we will be resurrected unto life or resurrected unto damnation. That's your choice. Let us simply be obedient to what God has to say to us through His Word. And we will allow God to be ready when that time will come. Let's do what we can do today to be ready as the Lord has given us that promise and that hope and that comfort through the gospel. I hope this study has been good for you and will help you in your further study of this matter and others. But for right now, let's enjoy this hymn together and we'll be back shortly.
I love you, Lord, so I want to be baptized.
and wash my sins away. I love you, Lord, so I want to be baptized, and then I can be saved. I love you, Lord, so I want to be baptized. With Jesus I'll be raised. I love you, Lord, so I want to be baptized,
giving God
the praise, and I'll be born again. Born of the water and the Spirit, and I'll be born again. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I'll be born again. Walking in a life of forgiveness, and I'll be born again. Yes, born again, obeying Christ the Lamb. I love the Lord, so my friend, I've been baptized and washed my sins away. I love the Lord, so my friend, I've been baptized. I'm now among the saved. I love the Lord, so my friend, I've been baptized. With Jesus I've been raised. I love the Lord, so my friend, I've been baptized,
giving God
the praise, and I've been born again. Born of the water and the Spirit, and I've been born again. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I've been born again. Walking in a life of forgiveness, and I've been born again. Yes, born again, a child of God I am. I love you, friends, won't you come and be baptized and wash your sins away? I love you, friend, won't you come and be baptized, and then you can be saved. I love you, friend, won't you come and be baptized? With Jesus you'll be raised. I love you, friend, won't you come and be baptized,
giving God
the praise, and you'll be born again. Born of the water and the Spirit, and you'll be born again. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you'll be born again. Walking in a life of forgiveness, and you'll be born again. Yes, born again, obeying Christ the Lamb.
His charm, I love my Savior too.
His ruling love,
my Savior,
he loves me too.
Yes, loves me too.
Oh, now I see
His favor
in everything I do.
An idea of left behind, well, should be left alone. Let us look carefully and consider these things from the Word of God and know God's will on these matters. And let's be part of the kingdom that is reigning today, the church.
Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.